The federal government says the energy transition has gathered pace with a record number of renewable energy projects approved last year. But 2026 presents a much bigger challenge with interim emissions reductions targets off track and many Australians still struggling with record high power bills. Chris Bowen is the Minister for Climate Change and Energy. Welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Barbara. Happy New Year to you and our listeners.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you too. I wanted, though, to first ask you about this terrible situation in Switzerland. Around 40 people are understood to have died in a resort bar, many of them young. What are you hearing, and do you have any information on whether any Australians have been caught up?
It's clearly a terrible, terrible tragedy, and I'm sure all Australians send their condolences to the people of Switzerland, the people involved. I can confirm that one Australian has been injured and is receiving medical care, and the family is receiving support, Australian consular support. I can't go into any further details for privacy reasons, the name of the individual is not being released at this point. If there are Australians concerned about family members who maybe they're having trouble getting through to in Switzerland, the number to call is 1300 555 135, where DFAT has a 24/7 support line.
So at this early stage, you couldn't rule out that in addition to that one Australian, more are not caught up here?
We're only aware of one, but obviously there's still a lot going on in Switzerland just as we speak. We're aware of one Australian who's been injured and is receiving medical support.
Thank you. Turning to power bills, and the government promised in 2025 to bring down energy prices. You didn't do that. You're now taking away the quarterly $75 rebate on household bills. Is that a bit of a breach of faith at the start of the new year?
I think Australians know that our government's going to continue to do whatever we can to reduce power prices as much as possible, and that's exactly what we're doing through a range of policies, Barbara. I mean, we've seen 185,000 Australian households put in a cheaper home battery just in the last 6 months since the scheme came in on the 1st of July. For those families, it reduces their energy bills by up to 90% on average. We've seen 6,000 Australians upgrade their energy efficiency of their renewables through our Housing Energy Upgrade Fund, or 20,000 social housing dwellings upgraded since we came to office. And in the last few weeks, we announced our solar sharer policy for requiring energy companies to provide an option to Australians of 3 hours free power in the middle of the day. And look, we are making progress in the December quarter, which is just finished 2 days ago. We saw renewables hit effectively 50% of our national energy grid, 49.9%. That's good progress. And wholesale prices fall by 48% in that quarter. Now, we've got more work to do through reforms to make sure that progress flows through to energy bills. The job is far, far from done, but we remain on the job. The alternative is to wind back the clock and go back to coal-fired power, which is our most unreliable form of energy, or some nuclear fantasy. That's a contest that the Australian people had a view on at the last election. It looks like they'll also get the opportunity to express a view on that at the next election. But we'll just, in the meantime, remain focused on the job, which is providing as much relief as possible to Australians who want to undertake this journey. I mean, 185,000 households since 1st of July. Australians are getting on with it, and the government's getting on with it as well.
You say you want to see those decreases in wholesale prices flow through to consumers soon. How soon?
Well, look, there's a standard process which has been in place under successive governments, although the previous government did change it for one election where they hid an electricity price rise before the 2022 election. But that involves the energy regulator setting out a default increase in around March, with the formal increase coming in later. But that process will roll out. Look, there's a lot more work to do. We've engaged in a lot of reform, one-click switch to make it easier for Australians to change energy companies if they're not satisfied. We know that there are a lot of Australians who aren't on the cheapest possible option that are available. We're trying to make it easier for Australians. I would suggest the Energy Made Easy website is a very easy to use website to check your energy bills compared to other energy companies. If you have your energy bill in front of you, you can put it in and see whether there's better deals available. All that is about empowering consumers, giving Australians more choice about how they run their energy use, including the use of the solar panels on their roof, the batteries in their garage, and increasingly the batteries in their driveway.
But would you agree that bills are still too high for the average household?
Yeah, that's why we're working so hard to make sure that they can come down in the future.
Now, in last year in September, you set a new emissions reduction target for 2035 of 62 to 70%. Just a couple of months later, your own projections showed we're only on track for a 48% cut. When are we going to start seeing investment and construction that matches the cuts you're targeting?
Well, I think I have a different perspective to you there, Barbara. I mean, there are two targets, the 2030 target and the 2035 target. The same figures we put out show we're on track for a 42% emissions reduction by 2030. Our target is 43%, so we're very close there. A bit more work to do, but very, very close. On the 2035 target, I would be astounded and frankly disappointed if we're on track to reach it a couple of weeks after putting it out there. It's meant to drive behaviour and to stretch investment. So it would be extraordinary if we were on track to reach a 2035 target a few weeks after putting it out.
Well,
that doesn't make sense. Now, in relation to investment, we are seeing good, solid investment. We saw three wind farms reach final investment decision in December. Now, you might say three wind farms isn't much, and I understand that. It's $2 billion worth of investment. We've just, as I said, seen the national energy grid hit effectively 50% renewables in the last quarter. In the last 3 months of the year, 50% of Australia's East Coast energy use was supplied by renewables. That's a remarkable turnaround on just 3 years earlier. And we know from the AEMO data that there's 56.6 gigawatts. That's a huge amount of new energy in the pipeline that's in various stages of development. So if you're asking where the investment is, I say the investment is there. We've got more work to do, including seeing faster environmental approvals. One of our big wins in the last sitting week was getting that EPBC reform through to get to better environmental considerations. That's important across the board, but it's also important for renewables.
On Radio National Breakfast, my guest this morning is the Climate Change and Energy Minister, Chris Bowen. Now, Australia is not going to host the next COP summit. It's gone to Turkey. But you've taken on the role of President of Negotiations. How much time is that going to take for you this year?
Well, firstly, can I say I'm very pleased with the outcome, and I think it's a testament to Australia's progress. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, it was unthinkable that Australia would even be considered as a serious player in international climate discussions, and now we're being asked to lead them. That's an indication of the turnaround under this government. It's also a remarkable opportunity for Australia to help shape the international conversation. Now, in relation to your question about time, this is entirely in keeping with my responsibilities as Australia's climate minister. Obviously, we're involved in discussions internationally. The difference now will be, I'll go to the same meetings, but the difference now will be is Australia will be regarded with greater weight and influence. The Albanese government, we think that's a good thing for Australia to have more influence. Apparently, opposition thinks we should have less influence, and I think it's a sign of how low they've fallen on climate discussions. They say we shouldn't bother on climate action because there are only 1% of emissions, and then when there's an opportunity for an Australian minister to lead international negotiations about the other 99%, they say, well, that's a terrible thing as well. They just don't get it.
Are you a part-time minister?
Absolutely not, I can assure you. And that line from the opposition is going to look increasingly stupid over the next 12 months as I'm here in Australia doing my job, but also playing my role internationally.
On the issue of Bondi and a Royal Commission, there are even more calls today for a Commonwealth Royal Commission. More than 100 business leaders, including two former Reserve Bank governors, James Packer and former Victorian Labor Deputy Premier, adding their names to the list. I know you've said repeatedly you won't do it, but have you underestimated how strongly the broader community feels about this?
Well, Barbara, we recognise that many of the calls from outside politics for a Royal Commission come from a good place and are well-intentioned, but we take a very different view. We think the time for action is now, and indeed we've been taking action, implementing the Siegel Report, criminalising hate speech, defending the existing racial discrimination and vilification laws against attempts to water them down, outlawing doxing, which was focused on the Jewish community, releasing people's personal details to harass and intimidate them. We did all that in the last 3 years. We've appointed the Richardson Review, which will have an interim report by April. I mean, a Royal Commission, with all due respect, would only be limbering up by April and getting ready to think about starting its work. We'll have received our first report from Dennis Richardson, who is one of Australia's fiercest, most independent, respected former officials. So I think we've got the balance right here. I understand the alternative view, but it is not one we share.
Chris Bourne, thank you so much.
Good on you, Barbara.